The much-debated memoir from former Defense Secretary Robert Gates doesn't come out until tomorrow, but it's already caused a stir for its harsh critique of the Obama administration. NPR's Steve Inskeep spoke to Gates about his new book, titled Duty, and he joins us to talk about it. Steve, welcome.
Hey, good to be here.
Good to have you. And Steve, would you tell us first what Gates himself says about all the attention the book has gotten over his hammering of the administration, especially, it seems, of President Obama, or at least that's what so much of the focus has been?
Well, his publisher has to be happy on some level that any book would get so much attention. But Gates is arguing that some of the early media coverage of this book was a little wrong or a lot wrong. And he's given some examples where he feels that while he was critical of President Obama, he also praises President Obama. He compares his decision-making to Abraham Lincoln's decision-making, which is about the highest compliment you could pay to any American president. And he just says some of the criticism has been misconstrued. Yes, Gates says, the president seems over time to have lost faith in his strategy in Afghanistan. But no, Gates says, the president did not cynically approve a strategy in Afghanistan that he thought would fail. And some of the early news coverage seemed to imply that far more cynical narrative.
And I noticed in your conversation with him this morning, he also pointed out that he criticized or sort of self-criticized as much. So he really seems to be sort of an equal opportunity critic.
Well, to an extent. Now, with that said, he takes some pretty hard shots at some people. I mean, one of the most remarkable single lines is saying that Vice President Biden has been wrong about every single foreign policy issue for 40 years running. He describes Congress as incompetent and inattentive and totally focused on politics. He's devastating to the White House staff. But he also becomes thoughtful in other moments in the very same book, sometimes on the very same page of the same paragraph, and tries to round out his assessments of people that he has very sharp criticisms about.
So it sounds like the point he's tried to make to you is that his book is a lot more nuanced than what much of the media coverage has made of it. When you spoke with him, did he have anything to add about his portrayal of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who of course may run for president, and the sense that politics infused most discussions about national security?
Oh, yeah. And this is one of the really remarkable parts of the book. When I was reading this, before there had been any news coverage, it leaped out of the page at me because it was about Hillary Clinton. There's so much interest in what Hillary Clinton may do in the future. And here we have an image of a private meeting. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton at that time is there. President Obama is there. Robert Gates is there. Other key people are there. And they're talking about a surge of troops in Afghanistan. This brings up the question of the surge of troops in Iraq. And Gates says Hillary Clinton conceded that she opposed the surge in Iraq only because it was 2007 and she was running in the upcoming Democratic primaries against Barack Obama. I was running against you, she says to the president who is now across the room. And President Obama said something vague about how he agreed that a lot of opposition to the surge in Iraq had been political. Gates describes himself as being shocked by that level of cynicism on one side. But again, he tries to round out the argument and listen to what he said here in our discussion when he added a little more about Hillary Clinton.
I will say this about Hillary. In the 2.5 years that I served with her as Secretary of State, I never once saw her let domestic politics affect her positions on issues. And maybe there's a difference between, you know, a senator who's running for political office and somebody who actually has responsibility.
And there is one of the subtleties of this entire story that's worth bearing in mind, Sasha. Robert Gates is working on national security issues. You would like to think that the national interest would predominate and that politics would take a back seat. He is sometimes dismayed at how far politics has to be pushed forward. But as he recounts his own dealings with Congress, with public officials, of course, there's politics involved in his job as well. This is a job in a democracy of getting millions of people, hundreds of millions of people to roughly agree or at least getting their representatives to agree, and it's not always pretty.
And of course, in addition to the big policy decisions at play here, there's also a very personal side to this, families being impacted. And Gates acknowledges that making these decisions about troop levels have created an emotional toll for him. In fact, he described to you writing letters every night to the families of servicemen and women who died. And here's part of what he said to you.
Well, I was determined that these young people would not just become statistics for me. And so I started out by handwriting parts of the condolence letters. And even then, that wasn't enough, I felt. And so then I started asking that every time one of these packets came to me, that it have a picture of the soldier or sailor, airman or marine who'd been killed, along with the hometown news, so that I knew, you know, what their coaches and their parents and their brothers and sisters and teachers were saying about them. So I felt like I had some personal knowledge about each one of them, and I would write those condolence letters every evening.
And Steve, I think it's fair to say we can hear the emotion in his voice. Do you think it's possible that this is ultimately why Gates left the Pentagon?
He gives this as a major reason that he left, that he became so emotionally invested in the troops that he could not make brutal, cold-hearted decisions or give brutal advice to the president about where and when they should be deployed. His suggestion is that he just cared too much, which is symbolized in the end by the fact that he's now asked when he dies to be buried in Arlington National Cemetery.
That's Steve Inskeep, host of NPR's Morning Edition. Steve, thank you very much.
Delighted to do it.